Brethren, it's really good to be with you this morning. It's good to be able to talk after 2 months, and it's a privilege to be able to do it here with you. I've had a lot of time to think about this lesson, and it's brought me a lot of joy, a lot of smiles, a lot of happy moments, and I hope that it will do likewise do the same thing for you as we think about redemption. Redemption is a Bible subject, and I think you'll find out that it's this thing that we do all the time in our lives. I want to begin by telling you about something bad I did. I've told some of you this before, but one time I brought some of our used clothes to the Goodwill in several bags. They were in the van. And I didn't realize until after I delivered the bags, but there were some of our own personal items that were not intended for Goodwill. I didn't realize that until I'd gotten home. And I don't remember all the items, but one of them was a very valuable hooded sweatshirt that belonged to Candace. It was a really nice sweatshirt. I liked it. So when I realized my mistake, I went back to Goodwill, asked them if they'd seen it, and they knew nothing. I had no idea what I was talking about. I went out onto the showroom and looked around, hoping it may have speedily gone out to the racks, but it wasn't there either. So nobody knew where it was. I lost that sweatshirt. It wasn't intentional, but I lost it. And I would have gladly redeemed that sweatshirt. I would have paid the ransom. Whatever price they put on that sweatshirt, if I would have found it out there, I would have paid it. Because it meant that much to us. Well, brethren, that's the principle of redemption. It's not only about paying. It's about paying for something that has either been stolen or wrongfully taken from you. That's what's included in this idea. The passage that Eric read for us this morning tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. That shows us how valuable this transaction is. What are we redeemed with? The precious blood of the Lamb. A spotless Lamb. And we know that's Jesus. The blood is something that you have to come face to face with as the redemption price to save our souls. What does this word redemption mean? Well, it comes from a word which means to ransom, to buy back, and the root word is the word loosen. Loosen. When you think about it, that's what money transactions are. It's you're loosening something out of somebody's possession, aren't you? When you go to Walmart and buy a bag of candy that has a price on it, that candy belongs to Walmart until you pay the price to loosen it from their possession. Then it is lawfully and legally yours. If you do it some other way, it's called stealing. We're not going to steal. We want to do it legally. But as we said, redemption, it implies something more than this. Redemption is the idea of paying a ransom. Something is lost that is rightfully yours, but in order to get it back, you have to pay a price. And you might think, well, why do I have to pay for it? It was mine in the first place. Well, what is the saying in the law? Possession is 9/10 of the law. It's who owns you. That's who you belong to. And who owns us? Well, God is supposed to own us, but by nature, He doesn't own us. We, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are, to whom you obey. That's the truth. Whoever you're obeying, that's who you belong to. And by nature, we don't obey God. By nature, we are all like sheep. We wander and go astray. We have to be brought back by those that love us. We have to be brought back by the Word of God. But by nature, we wander away. Talking to somebody this week, and he was talking about how he can truthfully say his mother saved him. You know, Jesus saves us, but yet he does it through people. And he said, my mother saved me, and my wife saved me. So this is the thing about redemption is you can't do it yourself. You and I cannot redeem ourselves. We don't have the currency. We don't have the power to do it. We needed God to provide the redemption for us. God purchased again what was originally His. We belonged to Him in the beginning, but we gave it up when we sinned and did what Satan wanted us to do. Included in the idea of our redemption is the idea of being claimed. You do not redeem something to let it stay in the condition that it's in. You've got to clean it up. When Luann and I purchased our first home in Joplin, Missouri, my brother Henry was a great help. He was a realtor at that time. And he took us to this really good property, which we bought. Had the right location, right price, it was a good deal. But when we went into that house, the family that owned it was having lots of troubles. That house was in such sad shape that I couldn't stand the smell. Henry and Luann were trying to talk to me about what a good deal this is. But I wasn't thinking good deal. I was thinking, this is awful. I got to get out of here. I can't think of this smell. So we got outside where we could think clearly, and I could see their point. So it is a good house. It's a good location. But if we buy it, we will have to redeem it. We will have to clean it up. And in this case, what's it going to take to clean up this house? Well, rent a carpet cleaner. Carpet cleaner is not going to do it. This carpet is in terrible shape. It not only has all these foul odors in it, it's worn out. It's got patches that are just torn up. We are going to have to replace the carpet. Brethren, that's exactly what our redemption is. When God redeems us, it's not come as you are and everything's fine. You must be willing to change. That's what repentance is. It's an admission that I haven't been living right. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to do. I need to change. If you want to become a Christian but you don't want to change, why do you want to become a Christian? So what does the Lord do for this? He says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you've transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And then in chapter 36, verses 25 to 27, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart also I will give to you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Brethren, that's why we're redeemed, is so we can be of good. Be useful to God, not continue to be a slave to sin. To be under its power and to say, well, I guess this is just the way it is. it isn't God's fault that I was lost. I confess there have been some times when I've tried to blame him. When I say something like, Lord, why did you make me this way? Well, the Lord gave us our desires, but he's not the one that perverted them. He's not the one that sets our desires on certain things. God gave us our desires to be useful, to help us here on earth, but not to rule over our lives. That's not God's fault. So I'm lost because I was led astray by my own desires. What is this cleansing agent that cleans us? Well, again, it's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus. Those that were redeemed at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, they've been all kinds of people. They've been fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, drunkards, thieves, all kinds of evil practices. Paul said, and such were some of you. What happened to them? But now you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were changed. You used to be that way. You know, when the world tries to solve those problems, they say, oh, well, you'll always be that. Is that what the Bible says? Not if you're redeemed. Paul says, and such were some of you in the past tense. Well, what happened? You're redeemed. You're washed. You are made different. We have to remember this, brethren, because that's the way God looks at us. That's the way we should look at others. When you want to redeem something, you look at the good points, the value. You don't focus on the bad things. The bad things will need to be changed, but you focus on the good things. The other day when I was in the chemo pod, most of the people that come to the chemo seem like they're nice people. But there was this one young man across from me. He had some of his loved ones come visit him, and they looked like they were kind of a tough crowd. You know, some tattoos, and some tough-looking people. And my first response was, ew. But then I got to thinking about redemption and realized, that's not how you're supposed to look at them. You're supposed to see their value. They do have value. And my attitude changed because I remember what Christ has done for me. I was a problem at one time. I remember something that happened in eighth grade when I was acting up in class. I was a disruption in class. But I was oblivious. I didn't know how stupid I was. But fortunately, I had a teacher who loved me. She was pretty blunt when she did this, but right in front of the whole class, she said, Tom, you're obnoxious. And that did its job. I shut up. And I was humbled. And I had a good vocabulary, so I knew what obnoxious meant. I said, yeah, pretty strong. Maybe I have been kind of obnoxious. But sometimes we don't realize how bad we are. But I'm glad that nobody gave up and said, oh, he's always going to be that way. He's not going to change. They didn't give up on me. Not that I was, you know, a terrible case, but I had my own faults that could keep somebody from thinking there was any hope of redemption. No, the Lord cleans us in the blood of Christ, the most powerful cleanser there is in the universe. The Bible describes it in Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why did he wash us in his blood? So we could be kings and priests. I didn't know that was in my future. Me? A king? A priest? Yes, that's what God can do for all of us. He makes us kings and priests, redeeming us from what we were. Later on in Revelation, he says, Revelation 7, verse 13 and 14, one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" I said unto them, "Sir, you know." He said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." What a cleanser it is. The blood makes you white. Now that kind of goes against the rules of nature, doesn't it? The blood makes you white. You're clean. You're acceptable to God. And brethren, it's the only way to be clean. There is no other way to get clean. That's what separates Christ from any other religion, any other way of living. Christ is the only one that can make you white, cleanse you from your sins. And that's why it's so important to realize this. When you read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, how would you summarize those chapters? Genesis 1 and 2, look at what God does. It's amazing. All he did for us. And it doesn't even tell about the spiritual things. It just talks mainly about the physical things we see. All that God did for us. What's Genesis 3 about? How we blew it. It causes us to hang our heads in shame. Look at how we responded to God's grace. And he hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't do anything to deserve what we did to him. Genesis chapter 4 is about how to be redeemed. You can do it Cain's way, your own way, whatever way you choose, but it doesn't work. Or you can do it Abel's way and admit it's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb. You know what's really interesting about chapter 3? You know who sinned first? It was Eve. Paul said she did it because she was deceived. That means she thought it was okay. That's what we do with sin. We can be deceived into thinking it's okay. Or we can sin and say, "I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway." That's not deception. That's stupidity. But to be deceived is, "No, I think it would be okay. I don't really think it would be wrong." Well, what's wrong with it? Look at how nice it looks. It would taste good. And it would make us as wise as God. What could be wrong with this? That's deception. But who is it? It's the woman that was deceived and sinned first. But who is it that redeems us? It's the woman. It's the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15, God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." It's between you and the woman. And between your seed and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is going to gash your head open. That's a fatal wound. And you're going to bruise his heel. That's something you can survive. You can live with that just fine. That's the prediction of what life is going to be. That constant struggle between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. And of course, the woman's seed that is specifically referred to is Jesus. He did defeat Satan. He gave him a blow that Satan cannot recover from. Then on down in the chapter, we notice that God makes Adam and Eve coats of animal skins. Why? Because we can't redeem ourselves. Adam and Eve tried. They knew they were naked. That was, they were ashamed of it, which we should be. But they tried to fix it themselves. Wouldn't fig leaf aprons be good enough? Not to God. They may be all right with you, but they're not okay to God. We need that innocent blood, the blood of the Lamb, represented by those animals that were killed in order to make their coats. We need that to be saved. In the Law of Moses, we find all kinds of examples of redemption. Redemption of property, redemption money that would be paid to take the first to pay for the firstborn, redemption for land, redemption of people. There are all kinds of people, things that had to be redeemed by money. What's the point of that? The point of that is to show us that everything belongs to God. It all belongs to God. We need to redeem what we have. We need to pay something for that. God doesn't ask for everything. He asks for the first. Give Him the first. It is rightful, it is lawful to give God what belongs to Him. Then we read about the year of the Jubilee. Every 50 years, seven sevens, every 50th year, all the land would go back to the rightful owners. Because God divided up that land, and He didn't want anybody to play risk with the land. Take over the land. Didn't want anybody to do that. Now, you could buy land, but in the 50th year, it needed to go back to the rightful owners. So God had a wonderful system there that, if practiced, was a very great blessing to the people. But it's still the idea of being redeemed. The story of Ruth and Boaz is another story of redemption, where here is a widow, Ruth, who will not have anything unless somebody redeems her. Somebody needed to redeem Ruth to save her. And that was Boaz. When we come to the New Testament, brethren, it is really amazing. Open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, and we read about four women in the lineage of Christ, five if you count Mary. And what all those four women have in common, besides the fact that they were in the bloodline of Christ, they were all redeemed women. Redeemed women. Tamar, the woman who was supposed to have carried on the line, but was going to be neglected. She was going to be counted out, except for her clever tactics with Judah. And Judah confesses in the end, she's been more righteous than I. Yeah, she was kind of cunning and deceptive in what she did, but she was more in the right than I was. Tamar was redeemed, and she gets a place in the bloodline of Christ. Rahab, the harlot, she needed redemption, didn't she? It's not how we want to be remembered. It's not how we would like to practice our lives, yet she was redeemed by believing that God was going to bring His armies in and take over the land. She believed it. Her faith saved her. We have, and she became the father of Boaz, who redeemed Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess, she wasn't a Jew, yet she got in the bloodline of Christ. She was redeemed. She became the mother of Obed, father of Jesse, the father of David. And then Bathsheba, the adulteress, she gets to be in the bloodline of Christ. What's this about, brethren? It's all about redemption. It's what our lives are about, redemption. You buy a new shirt, you wear it, you get something spilled on it, or you perspire, as I think most of us do. It's dirty. It's a dirty shirt. We throw it away? No, we redeem it. We find a good cleansing agent. We find God's natural solvent water, and we have a new shirt. We redeemed it. We didn't give up on it. That's what life is about. Laundry day is redemption day. Get another chance. It's what life is about, brethren. And that's the way we should look at our lives, is that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that Christ has made it all possible. We want to continue this lesson tonight. I hope you can be with us. If you weren't planning to be with us, I hope you'll change your plans and be with us, because we've got some really good information further about redemption. But as we close this lesson this morning, I hope that we'll realize that God has redeemed us. Just as you and I would be willing to pay a price to gain back something that we had lost, that's exactly what God did when he created us. He went into this knowing that it would cost him his son. But he loved us so much that he was glad to do it. Don't let Christ's sacrifice be in vain. Don't let redemption be something that you miss out on. Please take advantage of the redemption in Christ by believing in Him, confessing your faith, repenting, and being baptized. You will be redeemed too. Redeemed to do good work, to be of good service to the Lord in His kingdom. If you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, we hope you'll do that. Or if you have something to bring before the congregation, we can assist you. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sit.